بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. Today we read from Surah Hashr till the end of Surah Qalam. So that is somewhere on the first quarter of the 28th till the first end of the first quarter of the 29th juz. So the first surah is Surah Hashr. Hashr refers to a gathering, and is specifically referring to the gatherings of the Jews that belong to the tribe called Banu Nadir, as they were exiled from Medina, and they gathered in a certain area before and after the exile. They were actually exiled to a place called Khaybar, and some of them went to some areas around Syria, which was known as Sham back then, in the fourth year after Hijrah, after they planned to kill and murder Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The attributes of some of the Ansar are also mentioned in this surah, and some of their sacrifices are also mentioned. One of the ayahs I wanted to mention here is that there's a very famous ruku'ah that many people read in their salah, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu ittaqullaha wa tanzur nafsun ma qaddamat lighad. In the higher here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us to keep our eyes on the akhirah and not on worldly ends. Because remembering the Akhirah is akin to remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not remembering the Akhirah is akin to forgetting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why he says, وَيَعْرْضِينَ عَبْتُقُ اللَّهَ وَالْتَنْظُرُ نَفْسٌ مَّا قَدَّمَ لِغَدْ. Fear Allah and keep a focus and keep looking at those things that you are sending towards the Akhirah. وَالْتَنْظُرُ نَفْسٌ مَّا قَدَّمَ لِغَدْ. And while the world right now is suffering from the pandemic of this world, we need to remember the pandemic of the Akhirah as well, because it is going to be much more severe than what it is in this world. There's a narration in Sahih Bukhari where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives us a picture of the Day of Judgment, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that yajma'u Allahu an-nas al-awwalin wal-akhirin fi sa'idin wahidin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to gather all people in one area, in one field. Awwaleen wal akhireen, people from the beginning all the way till the end, till the Day of Judgment. All of them are going to be gathered in one area. What's going to happen is tadnu sham, the sun is going to become very, very close to them. Fayablughu an-nasu min al-ghammi wal-karbi ma la yutiquna wa la yahtamilun. And because of the entire situation that day, people are going to feel so much sadness, grief, sorrow, and karb, and pain and hardship that day, that la yutiquna, they will not be able to take it, yahtamiluna, they will not be able to handle it anymore. And the rest of the hadith is when it goes to all of the prophets and they ask them to do something about the situation. So again, the pandemic of the Akhirah will be way worse. And if you forget about the suffering we may face in the Akhirah because we are so preoccupied about the suffering of this world, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may make us forget about our own purpose in this world as well. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the next ayah, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ. That do not become like those people that forgot Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them forget themselves. He made them forget what they were supposed to do in this world because they were so absorbed in this world and they forgot about the akhirah. Moving forward, the next surah is Surah Mumtahina. Mumtahina literally means the examiner or someone who takes a test. And this surah is called Mumtahina because Rasulullah ﷺ was told to examine and test those women who migrated from Makkah to Medina and see that do they really have true faith or are they just spies or something. That's why it's called Mumtahina, and lots of rules related to that are mentioned. This surah was revealed after an incident regarding a sahabi called Hafid bin Abi Balta'a. What happened with him was that his family was in Makkah and there was no one to protect them, and he himself was in Medina. So he ended up giving some information about what Rasulullah's plans were to the people in Makkah. Now, in his mind was that Rasulullah is a prophet, he fully believed in him, he was a proper sahabi, of course, he's a sahabi of Badr. So he thought that regardless of what information I give the people of Makkah, Rasulullah will of course be successful no matter what. So it's okay, and I don't have any protection in Makkah, so let me give some information to them. So he was caught, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, forgave Hatib radiallahu anhu, but he also told the Muslims that don't do this with people who are on the side of your enemies, don't expose information to them. Next surah, Surah Saf. Saf refers to the lines of war, so standing in the lines of war. In this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is encouraging the companions to fight the polytheists and join the Saf, or the rows of battle. The surah talks about different nations of the past who were told to take up arms against their enemies and refuse, and the ones who accepted were rewarded, and those who did not accept, they were destroyed or they were cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Next surah is Surah Jum'ah. Jum'ah is of course talking about the day of Jum'ah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, فَاسْعَوْا إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَذَرُوا الْبَيْعِ. When the the adhan for Jumu'ah is called, then fas'a will come and hasten to the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wadharul bay', and leave all of your transactions behind. Your job, your work, everything, you have to leave it behind for Jumu'ah. And there's the last ayah of this surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us a very important lesson. He tells us that وَإِذَا رَأَوْا تِجَارَةً وَلَهْوًا انْفَضُّوا إِلَيْهَا وَتَرَكُوكَ قَائِمًا. It's talking about the Sahaba, so I'll give it in our context. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says there are people that when they see tijara, when they have businesses going on, or lahu, or they have forms of entertainment, انْفَضُّوا إِلَيْهَا, they run towards it, وَتَرَكُوكَ قَائِمًا. In the case of the Sahaba, they left Rasulullah alone standing. And in our case, we end up leaving the deen to the side. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ مَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ مِنَ اللَّهْوِ وَمِنَ التِّجَارَةِ. Say that whatever is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is better than your businesses and is better than all of the entertainment that you have. And because Allah is the one who is خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ, the best who gives any sustenance and risk to us. So right now, us indulging in our businesses, our jobs, our modes of earning are completely fine. That's all completely fine. And at times, it's actually fault on those, on people, certain people, to provide for others. But to compromise on deen for the sake of these things, such as business, is incorrect. Because we have to remember that the true provider is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reason we even receive our paychecks is because Allah ta'ala allows it to be so. So wouldn't it be very illogical to disobey the true provider for the sake of someone working on the bottom of the chain? That would make no sense to us. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the true provider, so when He tells us to do something, even if it means leaving our businesses, we should go because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end is the owner of that business in reality. Now aside from our work and our jobs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about one more thing which should not lead us to compromise on our deen, which I mentioned, lahu. Lahu is very hard to explain, but I'll just translate it in our times as entertainment. And honestly speaking, COVID-19 is a pandemic that affects us physically. It makes us sick, and we have all this health issues, social distancing, whatever it is. But the world of entertainment today is a pandemic that affects us physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And the number of cases for the world of entertainment today who've been affected by this spiritually is probably 99% of the entire population. Ask yourself the question, did you ever see yourself or any family member or any Muslim friend that you know feel irritated by having to go for salah, or have to go read Quran, or have to go to a talk about deen, or sit for a talk about deen, because they were watching some video, they're watching some show, they're playing some video game, or they were on some form of social media? So honestly, the pandemic of this forms of entertainment is much worse than COVID-19. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, the attribute of people that are wrong is when they see forms of entertainment, They run towards it, and they leave Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the deen to the side. And we should not do that. Moving forward, next verse, Surah Munafiqun. It's talking about a comment that the Ra'is, the leader of the Munafiqeen, Abdullah bin Ubay bin Sulul, made against Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during a battle, the battle of Banu Mustaliq. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about what he said. Moving forward, the next surah, Surah Taghabun. The Day of Judgment is a day of gain and loss. Some will gain Jannah, others will lose and end up going into Jahannam. So Taghabun means loss and gain. So I don't want to go into more detail regarding the surah. Many details are mentioned regarding that. Next surah, Surah Talaq. Talaq means divorce. So laws pertaining to divorce are mentioned. The waiting period, the iddah, is mentioned. Some laws pertaining to expenditure are mentioned as well. In this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's a few ayahs that are very important where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the ultimate way to be guaranteed rizq and sustenance. Everyone in America, especially all the people that migrated and from another country to here, they came here for financial reasons, to be financially stable. All the children that are young, they're growing up to be financially stable. The people that are adults already are growing up to be financially stable or even go higher than that financially. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us an ultimate way to be guaranteed our rizq and to be fully stable. What is it? Is it getting extra certifications, getting more experience on our resume, having a few internships under our belts? No, none of those things. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. Whosoever fears and has taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will always make a way for him. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. And He is going to give him sustenance from places he could not even imagine. So what does Allah want for us to get sustenance? Taqwa. Because once your life becomes for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes yours. Imam Ghazali rahimahullah has mentioned in Ihya Ulumuddin, وَمَا رُؤِيَ إِلَى الْآنَ عَالِمْ أَوْ عَابِدْ إِسْتَغْرَقَ الْأَوْقَاتَ بِاللَّهِ. He said, till today I have never seen, or there has never been seen any alim, any scholar, or any worshipper who's busy spending his time for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And throughout all of the cities that we've seen, that we see that such a person ever passed away hungry. He said, we've never had an account of this, that someone like this passed away hungry out of starvation. And he said, لا يرى قط, is never even going to be seen. And he says, rather, if that person that we're talking about, that worshipper, that person was busy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he even wanted to feed an entire group of people, a very, very jama'atun minan nas, just by saying it, he could do it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it happen. Because man kana lillahi ta'ala, kana lillahu azza wa jallahu. Because whosoever belongs to Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belongs to that person. وَمَنْ يَشْتَغِلْ بِاللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ أَلْقَ اللَّهُ حُبَّهُ فِي قُلُوبِ النَّاسِ وَسُخِّرَ لَهُ الْقُلُوبِ. And whosoever is busy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts His love in the hearts of the people. And on top of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes control of those hearts of those people and puts it under that person as well. So anyway, in this pandemic, we are all depending on our jobs, government funding, supporters from the community, which is all fine. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us a very important rule. مَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Whosoever has his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Allah is enough. Next is Surah Tahreem. Tahreem means to make something haram. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would visit his wives after Salatul Asr. But one day he stayed at the house of Zainab radiallahu anha longer than normal, because she offered him some honey. So two of the other wives of Rasulullah ﷺ made a plan to tell Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that it seems like there's a smell coming from your mouth. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard two of his wives say the exact same thing, he took an oath he's not going to eat honey anymore. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why are you making something halal, haram on yourself just to please your wives? Don't do that. And then there are many other things mentioned throughout this surah. I wish I could. There's many things about tawbah and different things, but we don't have time right now. The next surah, Surah Mulk. Surah Mulk talks about the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His power, His dominion, and why He sent us to this world, because of liyabluwakum ayyukum ahsanu amala, to test who is. He created death and He created life to test every single one of us to see that within this portion of life and death, what were all of your deeds and who ended up being successful. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created life and death in this world, and that's what he خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ الْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Two virtues of this surah in Jami' Imam al-Tirmidhi rahimahullah has mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that in the surah min al-Qur'an, there's a surah in the Qur'an that has 30 ayahs, and that surah is going to شَفَعَدْ لِرَجُلٍ, intercede on a person's behalf until that person is forgiven on the Day of Judgment. وَهِيَ السُّورَةُ تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكِ. And that surah is Surah Mulk, Surah تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكِ. And there's another narration in Mu'jam al-Kabir of Imam Tawrani rahimahullah, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says, and he's about to say something which must have been from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so it's as if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said it. He said that يُؤْتَ رَجُلُ فِي قَبْرِهِ, that a person is going to be brought in the grave and then something is going to come after that person. Of course, that means a punishment is trying to come after that person. So that punishment, يُؤْتَ رِجِلَاهُ, that punishment is first going to come towards the feet of that person, but the feet are going to say, لَيْسَ لَكُمْ عَلَى مَا قَدْ قِبَلَنَا مِنْ سَبِيلٍ. You can't go past this place, you can't go to the person that's behind me, you're stuck. I'm not going to let you go forward. Because this person used to read Suratul Mulk. That punishment is going to go from towards the stomach area of the person. Then the stomach is going to tell that punishment, لَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ عَلَيْيَ سَبِيلٍ. No, 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 you cannot go through. This person used to have saved himself by reading Surah Mulk. Then that punishment is going to try to come from the upper side, from the head side. Then the head is going to say, لَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ عَلَى مَا قِبَلِي سَبِيلٍ. You can't get past me because this person used to read Surah Mulk. That's why the surah is also actually called Surah Al-Waqiyah. Al-Waqiyah with the Ya. Because Waqiyah means to protect, and this surah protects us in the grave. So we should make a habit of always reading Suratul Mulk every single night. One very important ayah in the surah is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, two ayahs actually. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells, أَمِنْتُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ أَمِنْتُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ يَخْسِفَ بِكُمُ الْأَرْضَ فَإِذَا هِيَ تَمُورُ أَمِنْتُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ يُرْسِلُ عَلَيْكُمْ أَمِنْتُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ يُرْسِلُ عَلَيْكُمْ حَاصِبًا فَسَتَعْلَمُونَ كَيْفَ نَذِيرُ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that, do you feel secure from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He may possibly make the entire earth sink us into the ground and we may pass away? Or do you feel secure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never send a punishment from the skies and that punishment is going to destroy us? And of course, we should not feel so secure like that. Now, while this pandemic is here, we should never ever think that, oh, I'm young, I'm healthy, I'm not going outside that much, so it's okay, I'll be fine. No, death may come at any time. We'd rather prepare for it instead of considering ourselves to be indestructible. The next surah, Surah Noon, and it's also called Surah Qalam, Surah of the Pen. This surah talks about the proof of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's claim to prophethood. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically swore on the pen that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a true prophet, and it's not like he has any issues. And he swore on the pen to show that even though Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself is unlettered and he cannot read and write, and yet you see the entire Quran is so beautiful. So how can you say he's insane? The mushrikeen would say he's insane. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, "Ma anta bi ni'mati rabbika bi majnoon." I swear by the pen you're not insane, because you have this entire Quran and you're unlettered too, so I'm swearing by the pen that this is the case. Then lastly, I want to mention one story that's in the surah. It's a story about the people of the garden. It's a very important story, and just a quick summary of it is that once there was a man, a very pious man, who had a garden, and when he would go pick fruit from that garden, he would give some to the poor people that were in that area, and then he would take the rest home. When he ended up passing away, he had three sons. Those three sons came together, and they made mashwara, they consulted each other, and they came to the conclusion that they should keep all the fruit for themselves, and they shouldn't give it to the poor people. That's a bad idea. Now, the middle brother, the one who was the middle one between them, he warned them that this is a bad idea. This fruit was, our father used to do this. This fruit is the right of the poor. But eventually they said, no, we should just keep it for ourselves. So they made a plan that they're going to go early in the morning. أَنِغْدُوا عَلَىٰ حَرْثِكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَالِمِينَ. They're going to go early in the morning to pick all of the fruit, so no poor people are going to come, because they come later throughout the day. And وَهُمْ يَتَخَافَتُونَ أَلَّا يَدْخُلَنَّهَا الْيَوْمَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِسْكِينَ. And they were being, right in the morning when they went, they were being very, very quiet. يَتَخَافَتُونَ. They were being very quiet because they were afraid that some of the poor people may hear that they're going. So they wanted to make sure no poor people come. When they finally reached there, they reached their garden and they found nothing there. They saw absolutely nothing. They said, إِنَّا لَضَالُونَ. Maybe we're lost. We went the wrong way. بَلْ نَحْنُ مَحْرُومُونَ. They eventually realized that, no, this is the right place. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destroyed our entire garden and wiped it out through some form of natural disaster. So then what happened? أَقْبَلَ بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ يَتَلَامُمُونَ. They started turning towards each other and they started blaming each other. It was your fault. You did this. You said it was this idea, that idea. They started blaming each other. In the end, what happened was, no, they accepted that it was their fault for displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhana rabbina inna kunna zalimin. They said, no, we were the ones that were wrong. We shouldn't blame each other. We were the ones that were in the wrong because we displeased Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they felt ashamed for what they did. There's a narration, and then they said that maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us something better. There's a narration from Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu that once they made tawbah, they were actually given a garden that was even better than this one. It's not mentioned in the Quran, but it's mentioned from a narration of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. So now, right now, the pandemic has affected everyone's lives, whether in terms of health, in terms of our jobs, in terms of visiting relatives, in terms of breaking routines, in terms of being forced to work remotely, in terms of having lesser pay, in terms of forcefully having our vacation and Umrah plans changed, in terms of marriages or events changing, whatever it may be, and especially in terms of the masajid being closed. Everyone can at least say, all the Muslims, one way we've been affected in a very, very negative way by this pandemic is the masajids are closed. So now, what did everyone do when this pandemic started? What was everyone doing? People were blaming China. They were blaming Trump. They were blaming the governor. They were blaming people who didn't catch the virus earlier, as in they didn't figure it out and stop those people. They were blaming airlines. And now people are blaming other races. They're blaming Hindus. They're blaming Chinese, they're blaming New Yorkans, they're blaming government protocols, blaming, that's all we're doing. Now, what did the brothers of these gardens do? Yes, they were initially blaming other people, but what did they finally do? They realized something, that yes, the garden was destroyed by some natural disaster, but who sends those natural disasters in the first place? It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter what methods were used for it to happen, So they knew that it was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who made this garden destroyed in the first place. No matter what wind came or what fire came, whatever it may be. And the narration mentions it was a whirlwind of fire. So what happened was they turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and as a result, they were blessed with good fortune. Similarly, yes, this pandemic came through a viral spread via different species. And no matter what methods were used, whether it's from bats and snakes, whether it's from Chinese people in Wuhan, whether it's man-made by some country and organization, whatever it may be, the original sender of this pandemic is who? It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter what the means are in this world. Once we know this, shouldn't we be turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in fear before He sends an even larger punishment because we did not learn our lesson? And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says at the end of the story of the people of the garden, وَكَذَٰلِكَ الْعَذَابِ. And this is how a punishment and azab from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. وَلَعَذَابُ الْآخِرَةِ أَكْبَرُ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. And the punishment of the akhirah is going to be much greater only if these people knew. So we should all take a lesson from this and not consider this, belittle this pandemic and consider it to be nothing. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to fix our ma'amal and gain taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Amen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our acts of worship during this blessed night of Ramadan. Amen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the night of Laylatul Qadr in a good way. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.